Today we study another godly woman named Rebecca. Rebecca would have been the daughter-in-law to Sarah, whom we considered in our last broadcast. But Sarah had already died. Abraham, as we will find, sent his servant to Haran, the home of his ancestors, to find a wife for Isaac his son. The account we consider today is a dialogue between this servant of Abraham and Rebecca and her family after they had consented to the marriage proposal of the servant. We will learn more of the story as we go, but let me read the passage we consider today in Genesis 24, verses 55 through 67. And Rebekah's brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel," now that was Rebekah, "and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah, and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah, and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil, and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's, into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, had died at the age of 127. This means Isaac was about 37 years old when his mother left this life. Since Isaac was an only child, and the child of Sarah's old age, he loved his mother dearly. For this reason, Isaac, together with his father, mourned their loss. In fact, Isaac, it seems, was lonely at the void his mother left behind in his life. It was time for Isaac to marry. Abraham did not want Isaac to marry any of the unbelieving women of Canaan. Isaac would have to find a wife among the women in Haran, where his brother Nahor lived with his family. Abraham chose to send the oldest, most trusted servant of his household to Haran to obtain this wife for Isaac. Haran was approximately 600 to 650 miles to the north of the southern part of Canaan, where Abraham and Isaac were living at that time. That would be the case if the servant used the prevailing trade routes at that time. By camel, that was around a month's journey. For that reason, Abraham seldom, if ever, visited his brother Nahor. But Abraham had learned from a few travelers from Haran that his brother and his wife had given birth to 8 children. The youngest son was a man named Bethuel. This means that Bethuel was Isaac's cousin. Bethuel, in turn, had a daughter named Rebekah. Since Isaac was born very late in Abraham's life, this would probably make him around the same age as Rebekah, his second cousin, or first cousin once removed. We consider this young woman and her faith today. Certainly, she too is worthy as an example of faith among the godly women of the Bible. Obviously, Isaac did not personally propose to Rebekah. Abraham's servant proposed. It was not even Isaac, mind you, who suggested to the servant to go to Haran and propose to Rebekah on his behalf. Abraham told him to do so. The account before us contains none of the romantic marriage proposals that we might find in fairy tales or portrayed in the movies. The servant of Abraham was sent by his master to the land out of which Abraham was called, the land of his kindred. After many days, in the evening, he arrived at a well of water outside of the city and made his camels to kneel down there. He then prayed to Jehovah that the Lord would reveal to him whom he had chosen for Isaac. This would be the sign. If a young virgin girl appeared at the well and gave water to him, his men, and his camels, let that be the woman God had chosen. No sooner had he asked God for this sign, but Rebekah appeared. He asked her for water, and she gave water to him. Then she offered water to his camels, too. The servant asked Rebekah who she was, and she explained that she was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor. She then offered the servant a place to stay and provender for his camels. Abraham's servant then knew that the sign for which he had asked of God was answered. Rebekah ran to her house and explained to her father and mother what had just taken place at the well. When Rebekah's brother Laban saw the gold earrings and bracelets the servant had given her, he personally ran to meet the man and invite him to stay in his father's house. While there, the servant explained that he had been sent by Abraham to seek a wife for Isaac. He then related the entire tale of what had happened at the well in answer to him by God of the sign he had asked of him. Now the servant came to the crux of the matter. Here he sat in this stranger's house. Everything had fallen into place for him, but the servant knew he could not make any assumptions. After all, he could still be wrong, and Rebekah might not be the one chosen by God for Isaac. So we read in verse 49, "And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." So we have the marriage proposal. No, not to Rebekah at this point. The servant properly first asked her father for Rebekah's hand in marriage. Bethuel was Rebekah's head. He needed to be asked first if he was willing to give his daughter away in marriage. Permission was therefore first sought of him, to which Bethuel answered in the affirmative. Bethuel recognized that God had provided in his providence proof that Rebekah should become the wife of Abraham's son. He also recognized that Abraham and Isaac feared God, and after all, this is what he wanted for his daughter, a God-fearing husband. We ought not to think, however, that Rebekah at this point was sitting somewhere else in the house and had nothing to do with what was going on. She was not being treated by her father as if she had no say-so whatsoever in what was transpiring in the house. She already knew why the servant was there. She knew that her father was granting permission to the servant that she marry Isaac. And although the decision already had been made by father and mother, there was still the matter of Rebekah's willingness to marry and go. It can be safely assumed that she had already assented to the marriage. She was a part of the celebration that night in the home of Bethuel. But that Rebekah was consenting to the marriage revealed itself the next morning. Abraham's servant wanted to leave that very day, but Rebekah's mother wanted her daughter to stay for 10 days to say her farewells and to prepare for her leaving, so she asked the servant to stay for a while. He answered in Genesis 24, verse 56, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master." Now, we learn of a certain that Rebekah herself had consented to the marriage. They called Rebekah and asked her if she would go with the servant. Her answer was short, "I will go." It is almost as short as the woman saying, "I do," to her husband during a wedding ceremony. It is then that Rebekah accepted this proposal to marry Isaac. Think about that. She was moving hundreds of miles away from home and family, probably never going to see them again. She was going to marry a man that she had never seen before. She did not know whether he was good-looking or cross-eyed. She did not know whether he was going to be kind and gentle or harsh and tyrannical. But she was willing to move. Neither was this true of Rebekah because she had a brave and adventuresome spirit. Rebekah was a woman of faith, just as Sarah was. We say this because Rebekah too had heard the testimony of the servant. His faith in Jehovah, God, whom she loved and served, was known to her. She too heard the servant relate to her family that what had taken place at the well was a sign from Jehovah God that she was chosen by him. She heard the servant speak of God's blessing on Abraham and his desire to find Isaac a wife that loved Jehovah. She knew God, and she trusted that he had called her to move and to marry Isaac to raise up seed to Abraham. But there was more to this faith of Rebekah, too. Her grandfather, Nahor, was living in Haran because he had followed his brother Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham left Nahor and his family behind in Haran in answer to God's specific call to Abraham and Sarah to move to Canaan. Nahor knew that Abraham had a special place in God's plan for his cause and kingdom in this world. Neither ought we to think that Nahor was ignorant of God's promise to Abraham that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. It is evident from Rebekah's mother's blessing on her that these relatives had heard of God's blessing on Abraham. Rebekah wanted that. She wanted to be a part of that. Though it cannot be certain that she had the same hope at this point in her life that Sarah had when giving birth to Isaac, nevertheless, Rebekah must have been given a glimpse of that. We may not forget that Rebekah, by marrying Isaac, also became a mother of Christ. Christ was born out of her, just as he was born out of Sarah. Ultimately, then, Rebekah's faith was rooted in the birth of the coming Messiah. She also, in faith, as did all God's people then, looked for that Christ, that Messiah, who would deliver from sin. And in that faith, she now accepted the proposal of marriage. I will go. That very day, Rebekah and the young women who served her packed and left with Abraham's servant and his men. The women rode on the camels, while the servant of Abraham and his men walked beside them. God led the travelers safely on their journey, and in a number of weeks they reached their destination in southern Canaan, where Abraham and Isaac presently lived. It was early evening when they arrived. Isaac, we are told, was out in the fields, meditating. Isaac, too, was a man of faith, and he was in the field praying and thinking on God's will for him, meditating. Such is the biblical concept of meditation, not the Eastern sort that is so common today. Isaac was meditating on God's will and praying when he looked out and in the distance saw the caravan of camels approaching. At the same time, Rebekah spotted Isaac too. She asked Abraham's servant who the man she saw was. The servant identified Isaac for her. It was his master, and not some servant sent to check to see if they were coming. Rebekah did not wait for Isaac to come to her, but she jumped from the camel and walked out to meet her future husband for the first time. Her heart must have been pounding. What manner of man would Isaac be? I mean, this would change her life forever. We are told that Rebekah covered herself with a veil. She took a thin veil and wrapped it around her face so her eyes only could be seen. This, as we well know, is a Mideastern custom. As such, it is a sign both of modesty and of subjection. Western civilization is based more on chivalry, where the woman would be swept from the camel by the man and he would bow before her and offer his life to protect hers. Well, the Mideastern culture is exactly the opposite. Rebekah jumps hastily from the camel to show respect to this man who is to be her husband. It would not be right to sit elevated above Isaac on a camel. Then she covered her face with a veil, and that is how she met Isaac, humbly and in the spirit of subjection to him already before marriage. Abraham's servant now explained to Isaac what had happened. We then learn in simple terms of the marriage of these two believers. Isaac gave Rebekah lodging in her mother's tent, his mother's tent, until which time preparations were made for a wedding. She then became his wife, and we learn he loved her. The term love here in Hebrew means to breathe after or desire. This is the term used for God's love for his people. Isaac loved Rebekah with a true spiritual love. He loved her as a godly husband loves his wife, and vice versa. They longed for each other's companionship and desired no one else. In other words, this was a strong, genuine love Isaac had for her, and Rebekah in turn had for him. It was not a forced marriage, but a good, healthy marriage, rooted in their mutual faith. It is added that Isaac was now comforted after his mother's death. He had found a godly companion whose love would replace the deep love his mother had shown him. Yes, it was a good marriage, even though it was an arranged marriage. Now, we might question whether this was an arranged marriage. An arranged marriage, after all, is one that the parents arrange between two children while they are still young and have no say-so in it. When the young girl and boy come of age, they must marry, whether they love each other or not. Then, after marriage, they are to learn to love each other and dwell with one another in peace and harmony. But this does not fit what happened with Isaac and Rebekah. Abraham in no way consorted with his brother Nahor in order to arrange a marriage between these two, quote-unquote, young people. No one knew that these two would end up together as husband and wife. But this is not what I mean today when I speak of an arranged marriage. I am referring to this marriage as divinely arranged by God. It was already arranged in eternity, in the counsel of God for all things. Christ was to be born out of the line of Abraham, Isaac, and subsequently Jacob. Not only did God choose from eternity these men, but God chose their wives too, in order to bring about the birth of his son into this world. In other words, all of these events surrounding the finding of a wife for Isaac did not take place by chance. They were ordered by God in eternity, and they were providentially brought about by God to take place in time. But it is not a mere coincidence that Rebekah stopped by the well at that particular moment to water her own sheep. It was not by chance that she invited the servant to spend the night by her house. Both the servant and Rebekah were aware that Jehovah had ordered these events in their lives. God arranged this marriage. Notice what the servant prayed when he came to the well. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. This marriage was controlled by divine appointment. The servant recognized this. He then explained it in the same manner to Bethuel and his wife and son. The family of Rebekah recognized as well that God had arranged this marriage. Both Bethuel and Laban answered, "The thing proceeds from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good." It was obvious to all that God had picked Rebekah for Isaac. This is true according to God's divine decree. But Rebekah's entire life was directed by God exactly for this end. Rebekah was to become another mother of the covenant along with Sarah. We say this, of course, because of the blessing pronounced on Rebekah by her mother and Laban before Rebekah left. We read in verse 60, "Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." Now, that sounds almost exactly like the promise given to Abraham and Sarah. God told them, Your seed will be as many as the stars in the sky and the sand by the seashore, innumerable. Rebekah's mother says, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. God told Abraham and Sarah, your children will possess the land of Canaan. Rebekah's mother says, let your seed possess the gate of those who hate them. All of this became true of Rebekah. This blessing was indeed prophetic. Rebekah, as Sarah, became a mother of the covenant. And not only did this covenant include those among her generations who believed, but it included all believers from every age. Rebekah was a mother of the thousands of millions that believed on God and His Son, Jesus Christ. So, this blessing was fulfilled in Rebekah. She would become the mother of the thousands of millions that believed. Out of her came forth the nation of Israel. Out of her came forth the line of David. Out of her the Messiah would be born. She died, not seeing this blessing upon her, by her mother, fulfilled, but it was fulfilled. What an important place God had appointed for this maiden in His covenant. But then, God has appointed every mother in His church to this important place. And now we look to Rebekah as our example. Let's pray. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, again, we come into Thy presence marveling at Thy eternal counsel in which Thou hast planned all the events of this world. Thou didst appoint the events that led to Rebekah's marriage to Isaac. Thou didst appoint her to be a mother in the line of the covenant. Thou didst appoint that Jesus Christ would be born of her seed. Our salvation has been made possible by Thee because Thou hast directed all of the affairs of Thy church, of particular families, and of the world in general to accomplish Thy purpose to save a people in Christ. We thank Thee for that in this day. Now wilt Thou bless us by Thy word that we might carry it with us into our lives. Forgive us of our sins. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.